That's one of my favorite songs to play on the piano.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, amen. It's good to be here again with you all. You mind if I scooch this up a little bit? Is it okay? I don't like being so far from everybody, you know? And you mind if I take this off? Is it okay?
Get comfortable? All right, good, good, good. You know, I don't want you to think I'm a priest or something. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, yeah, your pastor's out of town, and he asked me if I'd be able to come out and preach, and I said, definitely, brother. So I'm excited to be with you guys. I'm glad to be able to bring forth the Word. It's always an honor for me to be able to teach the Word of God to God's people. And I was praying about what to talk about. I had some ideas. The Lord gave me some good scriptures yesterday. So if you take notes, if you're a note taker, I would encourage you to write these references down. I don't necessarily have a lot of good notes to take, but the references we're going to go through, these scriptures are very good and powerful. I think you'll be blessed. I want to inspire you today. We're going to be in Job 32. That's where we're going to start. We're going to springboard from Job 32. And I want to inspire you. But as we'll see from the scriptures, it's impossible for me to inspire you. I can't do it. Only God can inspire you, we're going to see. But thankfully, He uses vessels like us. But Job chapter 32, and this one, Elihu begins speaking. He's the young man. Job and his three friends have been going back and forth. And now Elihu, after they all shut their mouths, the young man starts to speak. And he gives some good wisdom. I really love Job 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. These are great chapters. You'd be blessed by them. I like it even better when God steps in and puts Job and everybody back in their place. I love God. He's really the greatest. You can't beat when He steps in and starts speaking. But here's what Elihu says. This is probably almost 4,000 years ago. And great insight and understanding. Verse 7 through 9. He said, I said days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Well, I'm going to focus mainly on verse 8. We're going to springboard out of there. But basically, Elihu, he's a young man, and he's been letting all the older guys talk, and he goes, you know, I thought if you're older, it means you're wise, but not necessarily. You know, I thought if you were aged, it means you understand, but you might not. Because actually, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives you understanding. And we're going to see this is something that doesn't really have to be age-based. You can be older, and you can still get the inspiration of the Almighty. You can be young and have the inspiration of the Almighty. God is no respecter of age or person. So I hope this study will kind of be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Just be able to open the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for this place that you've set apart where people, your children, can come. And it's a safe place. It's a haven where we can open your word and we can hopefully hear from you. Lord, that's what I'm praying right now. I'm praying, God, that we'll hear from you. Please give us a clarity in our minds and in our hearts to be able to hear from you. And Lord, that you would put some inspiration in us so that we could have some understanding of who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me find my notes here. All right, there we go. All right. So, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The word inspiration, what does that mean? A lot of different definitions. Now, we know, literally, if we're breathing, to inspire is to breathe in, right? You're taking in breath. And that's what inspiration is, even in a spiritual sense. In fact, if you look at the word inspiration, You have inspire, which is spirit. In spirit. That's literally the root, the etymology of the word inspiration. It has to do with in the spirit. The inspiration of God is when God is trying to give us His Spirit. And when we receive His Spirit, that's the inspiration. That's inspiration. When you're actually receiving what God's trying to say to you. You're taking it in. He's breathing. It's kind of like when God made Adam. He took the dust of the ground and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam received the breath of life in spirit. Inspiration, in spirit. He brought it in, He sucked it in, and he had life. Inspiration brings life. It yields life. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's only two places in the Bible where inspiration is found. It's in Job 32 is the first one, and 2 Timothy 3. I think most of us are pretty familiar with 2 Timothy 3, but let's just go there again. 2 Timothy 3. Like I said, I want to inspire you today. Hopefully I'll be a vessel, but ultimately it's got to be the inspiration of the Almighty. It's got to be His inspiration, or else I can't do anything for you. 2 Timothy 3. Love 2 Timothy 3. Paul's warning Timothy about the last days, letting him know what it's going to be like. It's a great place to take people. When I meet people on the streets, and they say, I don't believe the Bible, I just show them 2 Timothy 3 and go, what does this look like? Does this remind you of something? Does this look familiar? Yeah, see, that was prophesied 2,000 years ago. This is exactly what it would be like in the last days. You know, I like to show them the Bible's real, not just have a debate with them. And so he's warning them about all this wickedness. And then in verse 14, here's what Paul says. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I love that. Now you know when Paul's writing this, he's not talking about the New Testament. The New Testament hasn't even been written. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's saying those holy scriptures, if you continue in those, even if you didn't have a New Testament, if you continued in those scriptures could make you wise to salvation. The salvation that's through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures, they testify of me. When you're reading the Old Testament, you're not just reading about Adam and Eve and Satan and the devil and Noah and his family and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. You're not just reading about them. If you are, then you're not really getting the inspiration of the, I'm going to show you. You're not getting the inspiration. You're not really receiving what God's trying to show you. Yeah, He's trying to teach you about earthly stories. But He really wants to show you Jesus Christ. Because He's our only hope. He is the only way to salvation. Jesus said, search the scriptures. You think they're all about you getting eternal life. He goes, but there they which testify of me. So look at what Paul says in verse 16. All scripture. How much scripture? All scripture. Is given by inspiration of God. And then he tells us why it's given. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be what? Perfect. Truly furnished on all good works. Do you believe that you can be perfect? Do you believe you can be perfect?
Not in myself. Not without God's help.
Of course, not without God's help. But do you believe that you can become perfect? Okay, let's read it again. Okay, let's read. Okay, verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, right? Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and I could say that the woman of God, okay, may be what? Truly furnished in all good works. Now let me ask you again. Do you believe that you can become perfect?
And even Christ.
Of course, only in Christ, yeah. But do you believe you can become perfect? Who says yes? I believe I can become perfect based on what I just read in that scripture. Okay. A couple of people. Yeah. Who believes, no, I can't be perfect. It's impossible. I'm too much of a mess. There's no way I could do it. Raise your hand if you did. Okay. Now, I want to help you a little bit. I don't know how much you know about our New Testament righteousness, but it's called the righteousness of faith. Okay, I wasn't planning on going here, but I'm going to go here just for a second. Take a little detour. Righteousness is when we are made righteous. That means we always do what's right. It's like God. It's actually how God made us. God made us to be righteous. He didn't make us to be sinners. God did not create us to be evil and perverted. He created us to be righteous. And what we get to receive in Jesus Christ is righteousness. Whose righteousness? Do you know whose righteousness we're receiving? His righteousness. That's right. It's not our. It's His righteousness. So that literally, we're going to be like Jesus Christ. That's a reality. That's not just theory. This isn't just like, well, maybe one day. No, He's saying the righteousness of Christ. But do you know how we receive that righteousness? How do we actually become righteous? She said it. She said it quietly, but she said it. It's called faith. That's why it's called the righteousness of faith. What is faith? We get deep, and if I don't want to get too deep into faith, but in simplicity, faith is believing God. Whatever He says. Whatever He says is going to be, however He says it is. If you believe Him, if you trust Him, that's faith. Can we agree? In the Scripture, faith is the noun form of belief. Believe is a verb, faith is a noun. It's really the same thing. Okay, so, when you read something in the Bible that is different than what you think, or when it's something that seems to be impossible, right? I said, can you be made perfect? You go, no, I can't be made perfect of myself. It's impossible for you to be perfect in your own power, right? So I read something that's impossible. Now here's the question. Am I going to believe what I see? Or am I going to believe what God says? When I choose, I'm not just saying, it's easy to say I believe the Bible, anybody can say that. I'm talking about when you're actually reading it and you start seeing stuff, you're like, whoa, okay, he just said, I'm supposed to be made perfect. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, be perfect. Okay? Paul and Peter prayed for people and admonished them that they would be made perfect in the gospel. I'm reading that. Look, we're all told nobody's perfect. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, right? But He's saying, no, you're supposed to be perfect. It's impossible, right? With men, it's impossible. But faith is when I choose to believe the impossible and say, even though it goes against everything I think, everything that makes sense to my mind, I'm going to believe what God says and I'm going to receive it and say, you know what? No, I believe that is possible. Even if I don't fully understand how He's going to do it, I choose to believe the impossible. This is called faith. And through faith is how we start to actually begin to be made righteous. We're not made righteous by going to church every week. We're not even made righteous by just opening up our Bible and reading the Bible every day and checking it off. It's not what it says. We're made righteous by faith. And faith is when you actually choose to believe God, even if it's against everything you've ever been taught or everything you think. Does that make sense? Okay, so let me just ask you one more time. Do you have the Holy Scriptures? Do you have all Scripture? Okay. Is it possible for you to be made perfect? Amen. Amen. I hope I helped you overcome some unbelief. Some of you are still struggling with that unbelief. I understand. Because you're trying to comprehend it with your mind. But the Scripture says the natural man, we're going to see it in a second, can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He goes, I can't eat. No, that's foolishness. It's impossible. But God wants us to be humble and say, no, if He says it, I believe it. Even if I can't understand it. Anyways, that wasn't my point, but it kind of ties in with what we're going along. So these Holy Scriptures are vital to help us come unto salvation. You guys saw that in verse 15, right? These Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul makes a statement, verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. And again, inspiration of who? Of God. Just like Job, back in Job, Elijah said, the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives you understanding. See, you have your spirit. But your spirit can't really understand what God's saying. But what God wants to do is He wants to breathe into you a new spirit. And He wants you to breathe that, suck that thing in, receive that inspiration in spirit. That's what He's saying. He's trying to put something new, in, a new spirit inside of you. An inspiration of God. It's God's spirit. He's putting it in you. And that is what is able to make you wise. That's what's able to make you profitable. That's what's able to make you perfect in Christ, truly furnished all good works. Amen? Amen? This is what I'm praying. This is what I'm praying. This is one of my callings for the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to help people as much as I can, as much as God will use me, to get to the place where they're really like taking it in. Like really taking it in. Not just going through the motions, but like they're getting it. They're bringing it into their spirits, becoming part of who they are. And I'm going to further explain in a little second. But how many of you have read the Bible? And I'm not saying from cover to cover, maybe half from cover to cover. But you've read the Bible, and at times it's just really boring. At times it's like, I don't even know what I'm reading here. This doesn't make any sense. Sometimes you're like, why is there a list of names? I thought this is like the Word of God. Why is it just like 12 chapters of a bunch of names? Like, what does this really have to do with my life? I don't understand this. How many of you have ever read that and experienced that? Okay, I think we've all experienced that, right? Now, when I first started reading the Bible for myself, like seriously, I was 18 and a half. And I would say for maybe about a year, year and a half, that was pretty much what I experienced almost all the time. I read the Bible every day. Like I committed, I'm going to read this book, you know what I mean? Because I know the Bible has the answer, so I'm going to read it. And I would read it. But I wasn't getting inspiration. It was just like, okay. Now there were some things that I was getting, thank God. He would always give me a little something here or there, okay? Kind of like keep me on the line, you know, like a fish or something. He's giving me a little something. But a lot of it was really just like, I don't know, just not making sense. Okay. Now, that was when I was 18 and a half. I'm 34 now. So fast forward 16 years later, okay? And here's what I want to say. And I'm not saying this because I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying this is what God's done. When I read the Bible now, it's never like that anymore. It's never boring. It's never dull. I'm never like, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand what he's saying. When I read the Bible now, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, I can't wait. Like in school, I can't wait for my break. Man, I bust open the Word and God just gives me a powerful Word. Like, keeps me going. It's what fuels me. It fuels my life, literally. Okay? So, if when you read the Bible it's boring, it's dull, it's not making sense, I understand, I've been there, but I want to give you hope. You don't have to stay there. And I didn't go to Bible school, okay? I'm not a professionally trained preacher, okay? I'm not a professional clergyman. I went to school for mathematics, all right? So what I'm saying is, again, where does this inspiration come from? Does it come from man or does it come from God? It's the inspiration of God. Okay? Yes, I went to church faithfully because Jesus Christ is building His church. Yes, I've listened to many preachers through the years and I continue to, and I would encourage you to do that. But I want to help you and give you hope that if you really want to know the Lord, you really want this book to be like life. I mean, like this is your bread that you survive on. You can get there. It's going to come from Him though. And you have to understand it's coming from Him. Continue. That's what Paul just said. Continue. 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 All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Now, look at verse 16 again. You know how most of us read it and how most of it has been taught this verse? Verse 16, this is how most of us have been taught this verse without consciously saying it. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for so on and so forth. Okay? But that's not what it says. It doesn't say all Scripture was given by inspiration. Let me explain to you the difference. When most of us are taught this verse, we are taught that when God gave the Scriptures initially, He inspired the men who wrote it, right? And so the Scriptures are inspired because He inspired them back then. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God, right? That's how most of us understand it. That's how I understood it for years. And then finally one day, God's like, no, look at it. It doesn't say was, it says is. I'm talking about something different here, Adam. Now, it is true that all Scripture was given by those guys were inspired by the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. They spoke those things by the Holy Ghost. But Paul didn't say it was. He says it is given. What does that mean? That means every day you open up your Bible, the only hope you're going to get this, the only hope you're going to really get what God's trying to show you, receive what God has for you, is you. It's given. It's given to you right now, today. It is given by inspiration of God. See what I'm saying? So again, first couple of years I was reading the Bible, I'm reading it, but I'm not really, it's not much inspiration going on. I'm reading it because it's my duty. I'm reading it because it's my chore, but there's not much inspiration going on. Why not? Because I wasn't receiving it from God. But there came a point where I stopped resisting God's Spirit. I stopped trying to do it in my own spirit. And through humility and coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to hear from You. I want to hear from You. I'm not going to assume that I have all the answers. I'm not going to assume that the Baptist church that I was raised in taught everything correctly. Because we assume we're correct, but the Jehovah's Witnesses assume they're correct. The Mormons assume they're correct. Okay, the Methodists, everybody assumes that they're being taught the truth from the time they're young. What is the truth, though? Paul just said, continue in the Holy Scriptures. And the truth has to be revealed. It actually has to be given. So it's a gift. It's something you have to receive by God. It's given by inspiration of God. His Spirit wants to teach you. Are you following me? Is this making sense? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. If you want to get anything from God on a daily basis in your Bible, it needs to be given by inspiration. You got to receive that Spirit. It's a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can work for. It's something you just got to come humbly, and I want to receive it. We're going to see this. This thing about giving, freely given, this is important. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Brother Duvall, could you read that for everybody?
It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Okay. So your natural man, your natural spirit, he can't be inspired of God. It's actually impossible for your natural man to receive things by inspiration. Can't do it. He actually resists. They're foolishness to him. He can't even know them. It's impossible. We'll get to John 8, hopefully. This thing's timing me. Good. Okay. All right. It's good. I need timing because I'll just go all day. But let's back up to verse 10, okay? Earlier in the chapter, Paul's talking about man's wisdom. He's talking about when I preached, I didn't preach with man's wisdom. I didn't preach with the wisdom of the world. And the reason why was he didn't want people's faith to stand in his wisdom. Again, I could make a really crafty message here with lots of eloquent speech and like really like play on your emotions and all this stuff. But if it's just my wisdom and then you're like, wow, Adam's awesome. Like, look at how he speaks. Like, he's so good. I haven't really helped you. Because I'm not going to walk with you through life. But there's one who does want to walk with you through life. It's God. And if your faith starts to stand in Him and His power, then I can leave and you're going to keep growing. You know what I'm saying? The pastor could leave. God could take him out or take him out of this church, but you'll keep growing because your faith isn't in Paul Mann. So your faith should not stand in the wisdom of Paul Mann. I said the wisdom of man, you know, but wisdom of man. He doesn't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of man, whether it's one end or two ends. He wants your faith to stand in the power of God. Amen? And I hope that's where we're going. So that's what he's explaining here. And then he's explaining that even the princes of the world, even the devil himself, he didn't understand God's plan, because if he did, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord. He thought he was beating the Lord when he was crucifying him. He thought he had him in checkmate. God's like, no, you don't have me in checkmate. Are you kidding me? I just sucked you right into my chat. Boom, checkmate, I got you. Right? Okay? And what he's saying is, everybody knows verse 9, right? As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, things which God prepared for them that love him. We say that all the time. Say, hey, we can't know what heaven's going to be like. We don't know. But actually, that's not what he's saying. Look at verse 10. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by what?
Inspiration.
I'm taking in his spirit. Okay? So when you say, well, we can't know that stuff, and no, actually, you can. By his spirit. Through the Holy Scriptures. You continue in the Scriptures. By the Spirit. He can reveal these things to you. What does the Spirit of God know? Look at the end of this verse. For the Spirit searcheth what? So what does the Spirit of God know? He knows everything. He is God. He's the Spirit of God. He knows everything. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. So there's nothing that you can't know if God wants to reveal it to you by His Spirit. Anything that is required for you to become perfect in Christ, to where you are to become the Christian that you're supposed to be, God will and can reveal it to you by His Spirit if you come to Him humbly and receive by inspiration. Amen? But it's His inspiration. It's not my inspiration. It's not Pastor Paul Mann's inspiration. It's His inspiration. Are you coming to Him or are you just coming to the pastor? There's a difference. There's a big difference. My dad was an atheist when I was born. And strong atheist, medical doctor, very intelligent man, you know, read multiple books a week. And I'm not talking about like romance novels. You're talking about like scientific textbooks, and you're talking about political books and economics and all those things and history books. Very intelligent man. And my mom challenged him when I was about seven, eight, nine, somewhere around there. Because she started going to church and he was like, what's going on? And then she challenged him, well, you're really smart. Why don't you read the Bible? You know, if it's not written by God, you'll know it. But if it is, wouldn't you want to know? So he started reading the Bible, and then they started having Bible studies in the house. The church he was going to started doing a home Bible study, and he started hearing the Gospel of John, and he's reading and hearing the Gospel of John. And guess what? God brought him to faith in Jesus Christ. So my dad believes in Jesus Christ, and he just changes, like radical transformation. And he, as a man who's a reader, just starts devouring the Bible. And he's just reading it inside out. And man, he's so smart, knows the Bible inside and out. And so growing up, I was always like, man, my dad, man, he's the man. Look at all the stuff he knows. I mean, he can bring a Jehovah's Witness in the house and just tear him to pieces. And look at this, and look at that. Just like, man, he's awesome. But guess what? My teenage years, I didn't have victory over sin. In fact, sin had victory over me. Why? Because I was relying in my dad's wisdom. I hadn't received inspiration from God. And my dad couldn't give me inspiration directly. He could tell me the right things, but if I'm still focusing on him and I'm going, he's got the answers, I'm not really getting it. It wasn't until God had to break me down and realize, not only do I not have the answers, and if my dad does have the answers, it's not because of my dad's intelligence. It's because he turned to God. I need to turn to God myself. I need to start coming to God myself. My dad spends every day reading that Bible for a reason. I need to start reading it for myself. And that's when inspiration starts coming. Okay? Look at verse 11.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, this is key, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, did you notice that? Look at that Spirit there. Is that a capital S or a little S? It's a little S. Okay. This is different from the Spirit, capital S. Okay. Now, I don't want to explain it in detail. I'm not going to go explain it, but I'm going to give you a general, real quick, okay? God's Spirit is His Spirit. He'll give it to you. He'll fill you with it. But it never is really your spirit, it's His Spirit. Your spirit, your little s spirit, your natural spirit, can't understand the things of God. Okay, so that means if God wanted to, He could take a lost person, fill him with His Spirit, make the lost person preach truth, say a bunch of things, prophesy a bunch of things. And then afterwards, He could take His Spirit back, and that lost man would have no idea what he just said. He wouldn't understand any of it. Why? Because His Spirit can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So that's why we don't just need God's Spirit, we actually need a new Spirit. That's why it says we've received the Spirit, lowercase s. This is a new Spirit, that's your Spirit. You get a new Spirit. When you're born again, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is what? Spirit, little s. John 3, he explains. So you need a new Spirit. It's a new. It's the child of God. It's actually created in Christ's image. And it's a pure spirit. Now that spirit's got to grow to full maturity. Just like Jesus is a man had to grow to full maturity. But you need that new spirit first. If you don't have that, God could give you His Spirit, but you're not even going to understand what He's saying. You could come to church service after church service and feel the power of God. Like, you know the power of God is being released, but then you walk out the door and it's like it never really stuck. Why? Because you need that new spirit that's yours, a new man. See, look at that again. Verse 12. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world. That's the spirit the world has. But the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are what?
Freely given
to us. Isn't that awesome? Our God is so good. This New Testament grace is so wonderful. He says, I got so much I want to freely give to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't got to work for it. It's not like, keep this, 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 and this, and this. He goes, man, all you got to do is just come spend some time with me. And I want to just bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you beyond what you can even imagine. Isn't that what Paul said? He can do exceeding abundantly beyond what we could ask or think. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. Freely given. I love it. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, but here, watch this, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. That's education. Okay? Go to school. Go to college. Go to university. You know what you're going to learn? You're going to learn man's wisdom. Guess what it won't do? It won't give you the things of God. You cannot obtain the things of God through man's wisdom. It's absolutely impossible. I know a guy who is like so spiritual, so in tune with God, so powerful in faith. This guy, I think he was a dropout of fifth grade. He was some bum who ended up in prison. And in prison, he got a King James Bible. He didn't even know how to read. He was illiterate. But he really wanted to know God. And they gave him a King James Bible. God brought him to his absolute lowest, where he was just broken of everything. He wasn't trying to hold on or hold back things from God anymore. He was just done. He goes, God, I'm just all yours. Please help me. And he learned how to read from reading a King James Bible in prison. And this guy knows the Word inside out. He's so strong in faith. He's got none of man's wisdom. To the world, he's just a complete worthless fool. But man, he's got the power of God in his life. Because man's wisdom can't give you these things. Because if man could give it to you, then your faith would stand in them. And that doesn't last. God wants our faith to be in Him. He's eternal. Therefore, our faith is eternal. So he says, not in the wisdom which man's wisdom, the words which man's wisdom teacheth, verse 13, but he's talking about the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Where are we going to get the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? Continue in the Holy Scriptures. This is why, again, I went to church for years, but here's the difference between me and I know other guys that are my age and they've been in church for years. What's the difference between us? They don't really have power with God. They're not really walking by faith. They're just chasing the things of the world. They just want to make a lot of money. What's the difference between me and them? Is it that I'm smarter than them? No. Is it that I'm more talented than them? No. Some of them are far more talented than me. What's the difference? At 18 and a half, I say, God, I want to know you myself. And I started reading the Word of God. And somewhere along the line, I said, you know what? I'm not going to assume that I know everything that's right. I'm going to just believe what you say, even if it's against what my dad teaches. Even if it's against what my church teaches, I'm going to believe you instead of them. I'm just going to believe you. And guess what? Now the Holy Ghost can begin to teach you. He gives you that new spirit, that new birth in Christ, and now He can teach that new spirit. He can teach line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how He wants to teach you. It's freely given. Go to Isaiah 55. I won't hold you much longer. Isaiah 55. Try and get through this quickly. Like I said, if you take notes, I would write these references down. I think they're worth going back to, reading, meditating on, praying over. These are great scriptures. But my prayer is that you would receive inspiration of God every time you open the scriptures. Every time. Because all scripture, even the names in Chronicles, even the offerings in Leviticus. In fact, you know what I found? I'm going to be honest. A lot of the really boring stuff in the Bible is where God hides the deepest, most awesome treasures. Leviticus is just amazingly deep. That's why to the natural man you read it, you go, this is a waste of my time. Because God loves to take something that looks like it's worthless and just hide treasures in there. So that you'll never get it until you humble yourself and you continue and you continue and you continue and you let God begin to breathe His Spirit into you. And you take it in, your eyes start being open, you start seeing these things. Because then you know it's God, it's not you. Isaiah 55, look at this. Love this. This is a call. He says, ho! That's like, come on, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath what? No money. Doesn't care if you're rich or poor. In fact, a lot of times you're better off being poor than being rich. Because when you're rich, you really think your money's going to get you somewhere. When you're poor, you realize, well, hopefully, unless you're still chasing money. A lot of poor people are greedy chasing money. But the ones who've been broken, they realize money ain't really worth anything. He that hath no money, come ye, buy. How am I going to buy if I don't have money? And eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Amen? Freely given. God wants to freely give you stuff. Stuff that's eternal. Stuff like faith and wisdom and power and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge. He wants to give you the greatest things. The things, peace, joy. Imagine if you were rich in love. I mean rich in love. To where people could offend you and they could say things and it doesn't even offend you because you're just so spilling over love. You could be like Christ. You're being crucified by a bunch of dirty scoundrels. You created these people and they're making fun of you like you're a joke. You could turn to them and say, are you kidding me? Who are you? Christ could have easily done that. But he was so rich in meekness and in love. He goes, oh, Father, please just forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Please, Father. I mean, just rich in that stuff. You've got to buy it, but it's not with money. The way you buy it is with your time. The way you buy this stuff is with, it'll cost you your pride. You're going to have to trade your pride away to get some humility, okay? But no money. God wants to freely give it to you. Verse 2. Wherefore, like why? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread?
and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto who? Unto me. Not just your pastor. Hearken diligently to me. Are you receiving inspiration of God? And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. One of the lies of the devil is he convinces you that if you really just give your entire heart and your entire life to God, that you're not going to have any fun. He really does. I remember for years I was convinced of that, and I was like, God, no, please, I don't want to give you this. I don't want to give that up. No, God, I don't want to give you all of me. Like, I'll give you so much, but I'm going to hold this back because I really love this thing. But you know what? It's a lie. You have to face that lie and go, no, this is a lie. I'm not believing it. God's the creator of all good things. And if I give myself completely to Him, it's going to be better than ever. You go, well, Jesus had to die on a cross. Yeah, that was brutal. But guess what? 3 days later, He resurrected with all power in heaven and earth, and He ascended to heaven. Who else has done that? So, I mean, yeah, He suffered a lot, but it was short, it was temporary, and the glory is eternal. But you got to believe it. You got to believe this. Look at verse 3. What does God want us to do? Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God says, I'll make a covenant with you that's forever, that cannot be broken, if you'll just come listen to me. That's all He wants. That's all He wants. He wants to give you, He wants to bless you beyond anything you could ever imagine. He says, just come and listen. Just come spend time with me. Listen to what I have to say. And I'm telling you, I will bless you beyond what you could even imagine, and I'll make an everlasting covenant. That's awesome. I'd say David was a blessed man, eh? Guy went from being a nobody country boy to being king. And his throne is going to endure forever. I'll make a covenant like that with you. With you. With us. Now, later in this passage, he talks about verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, return it not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my what? My word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So you're saying, like, your natural man doesn't get what I'm trying to say. So don't try to get it. Humble yourself. Let me give you a new spirit. I'll drop that thing from heaven on you, and I'll give you my word. And you know what it'll do? It'll be inspiration. You'll get life. It will bring life. It'll bring prosperity and blessing. I'm not talking about money and riches. I'm talking about the real prosperity, eternal prosperity. Look at John 6. Go to John chapter 6. It's one thing to know that the Bible's the Word of God. It's another thing when the Bible actually becomes the Word of God for you. And again, I think a lot of it, as our minds are so messed up by sin, we just can't think straight. And God's got to get us to where we can think straight again. Because for years I said I believed in God, but I was running from Him. For years I said I was believing God, but I didn't ever want to read His Bible. I thought the football game was better. I thought my video games were more important. You know, I had to get to the next level. You know, I thought chasing that girl was going to be, you know, she's the key to happiness, not God. God just wants to make my life miserable. But then I had to learn to think straight. And I go, wait a second, if God created all this in 6 days... If I really believe that, then we're talking about somebody who's so much more powerful, so much more wise, so much richer, so much greater than all of man put together. You know, I think I really need to get to know Him. Like, I think it would actually be beneficial to me if I got to know Him. He doesn't want to just make my life miserable. Like, I'll be blessed for this thing. Amen? So, John 6, look at what Jesus says. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come on, we love food. We love drink. You know? Even to this day, I'm still trying to overcome it. I want to overcome it. I don't want to be to where, like, I need food. Obviously, your body eventually needs food, but, there, you know, I don't want it to have power over me. I want to have power over food, but, like, no, I don't need that food. I'm spending time with God right now. But even yesterday, I'm praying these scriptures. I'm like, let me go get a snack from the cupboard, and let me go, you know, this looks good. Let me have a drink. And you just get distracted. Man, I want to be focused. Because you know what? That's not the bread of life. It only feeds your body. But you don't just have a body. Elihu said there's a spirit in man. Your spirit needs to be fed. How you feed your spirit? Jesus says, me, come to me. Feed on me. Feed on me. You go, how do I feed on Jesus? Now he's going to say some extreme things here. We won't read it. You can read it later on your own. He's going to say, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Jesus was a radical. I love it. I love radicals. I really do. I mean, people just, it's just extremist. He goes, you got to eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you don't have life. And these Jews are taking it literally, and they're getting all offended. But what does Jesus say in verse 63? Brother Bob, can you read that for us? John 6, 63.
It's the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
Amen. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. The scripture is given. He wants to give it to you by inspiration, that spirit. You're receiving spirit in. Now, for sake of time, I'm not going to get too deep here, but you have spirits in you. You know that, right? There's lots of spirits in the world. There's good spirits, there's bad spirits. There's not just God's spirit and the devil's spirit. There's lots of spirits. The Bible talks about the spirit of faith, talks about the spirit of wisdom, talks about the spirit of knowledge, spirit of fear of the Lord, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of grace, spirit of supplication, spirit of power, love, spirit of a sound mind. Okay, there's lots of spirits. Okay, nowadays we use the word attitude, but it's a spirit is what it really is. There's also wicked spirit of pride, spirit of blasphemy, spirit of fornication, spirit of lust, spirit of all these things. Okay? God is a spirit. We have a spirit, and our spirit receives spirits. When you receive a spirit, like an unclean spirit, spirit that's addicted to lust and filthiness. Okay, that's a spirit that you've received. In order for that spirit to survive in you, it has to feed. It's got to feed. Okay, just like your body. Okay, if you stop feeding your body physical food, what would happen to your body eventually? It'll shut down and die. Okay, eventually it's going to die. In order to keep your body going, you have to feed your body. And it's the same way in the spiritual realm. In order for those spirits that you receive, you have to keep feeding that spirit. Okay? Some people, they love gossip. Okay? That's a bad spirit because you actually delight in seeing other people's failures and their faults. And how does that spirit stay alive? They have to feed on gossip. That's why you can see them come alive when you start giving them some juicy information because they're coming on their spirit inside of them is feeding on those words. They're eating it up. You eat words. Have you ever realized you eat words spiritually? Try and go in solitary confinement for about a week with no words. Don't talk. People go crazy because you live on words. I watch my kids in class, ninth graders. They feast on each other's jokes and each other's silliness. Okay, because they've all received foolish spirits. They got a foolish spirit inside them. Foolish spirit feeds on foolishness. So that's why when I'm in there and I'm like the dictator, you know. Sit there, shut up, don't talk, do your work, we're here to work, this is business, okay? Give me 2 hours of work, and then you can go out and play out there, okay? But right in here, you're not messing around, right? By the end of the 2 hours, you can see them, they're dying. It's like they're starving. They're like, oh,
They just need a joke from somebody. You know what I mean? They just need some, like that foolish spirit. Because they don't have the spirit of wisdom. If they had the spirit of wisdom, they would just love learning. They don't have that spirit. They got a spirit of foolishness. And you can see all the troublemakers. They're like God looking and they're trying to get a joke. And no, sit down, turn around, work. And then as soon as they get up and like one or two jokes, man, they come back to life. You know what I'm saying? It's like they need to feed on foolishness to maintain that spirit of foolishness in them. Now, if you receive the spirit of truth, you know what you need to keep doing to that truth? You need to keep feeding on words of truth. If you receive a spirit of wisdom, which I hope that's what we want, you need to keep feeding on wisdom. That's why for me, when I hang around lost people, if I hang around them, or if I hang around, you know, I start to like starve and die because it's like I got nothing to feed on. But put me around a Christian who loves the Word of God and I can come back to life because like, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for, brother. We can encourage each other. We can talk about the Word because that's my life. Jesus, you got to feed on me. My words are spirits. They're life. What spirit do you have? What spirits do you thrive on? What are you eating up? You know, someone who's a pervert, he's got to spend time around perverts. Sometimes they can hide, you know. They can hide for a long time. But bring another pervert around, tell one dirty joke, and you see him come to life, man. He loves that. He's, oh, yes, that's good. See, because he's received a bad spirit. So there's good spirits, bad spirits. God wants you to begin receiving His spirits. Inspiration. How do we do it? Through the words the Holy Ghost teaches. But you personally. You personally. That's why Matthew 4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. Notice all scripture. You need all of it. Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. If you have a new man, and you want to become perfect in Jesus Christ, that's what the goal is. That we will become what He made us to be. Then you need every word of God. That needs to be your bread. It needs to be what you eat. It needs to be what you live on. Inspiration. Okay. I think I'm gonna shut it down there. Let me just give you one last scripture. Okay, Proverbs 1. One last scripture, and then we're done. I had a bunch of other ones. I can give them to you if you're interested. You can look them up later. Proverbs chapter 1, though, we'll end here.
This thing's counting down, huh? That's why it's confusing me. I thought it was giving me, like, the time's getting less, so there's something like that. So I don't know how long I've been going, but we'll wrap it up anyways.
Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1, the spirit of wisdom is speaking. Again, there's different spirits. It's not just, God doesn't just have one spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost, that is the spirit of God Himself. That's the greatest spirit of all. You receive that spirit. You've received holiness is really what it is. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit. He's putting holiness in you to where you actually crave to be holy. You don't want sin anymore. You don't want to sneak out and do messed up things. Like you want to be holy. You want to be clean. That's the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom is a different spirit, though. It's not the same spirit. But they're both from God. But the spirit of wisdom wants to put wisdom in you to where you actually have a desire to like understand life and what you're doing and make sure like it's your life is worth something for God. So hear the spirit of wisdom speaking in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. By the way, some of these spirits are female spirits. They're not all male spirits. Wisdom's a female spirit. Okay. So some people teach that when we're all in heaven, everybody's men, there's no women. That's not true. Okay, they just made that up. It's a female spirit right here. Wisdom's a female spirit. And she's crying. And what is she saying in verse 22? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Simple ones, that's what we are by default. When you're born, you're simple. You don't know a lot. And they go, and she's like, how long are you just going to be satisfied just being stupid? Being ignorant. Like, don't you want to start learning? You really want to just remain ignorant? There's a whole culture today that just promotes
ignorance and just loves ignorance and thinks ignorance is the greatest thing ever. It's not. It's not cool to be ignorant. Okay? Verse, look at after that. And she says, and the scorners delight in their scorning. Scorners are beyond just being ignorant. These are people who actually make fun of those, mock those who want to grow in the right things of God. And they'll sit back and they'll make fun of you and they'll mock you. That's the worst. Like, they're the worst people. And she goes, how long are you going to just want to sit around and make fun of people and not do anything with your life? By the way, that's what those people are. They don't do anything with their life. They just sit around and make fun of others. And then lastly, and fools. How long are you fools going to hate knowledge? Right? When your mom's trying to teach you something and you just, get away, mom, don't talk to me. You're a fool. That's what you are. Why do you hate when somebody's trying to help you? When you hate when somebody corrects you, if your husband corrects you, ladies, if your wife tries to give you advice, men, and you hate it, you're a fool is what you are. God says, why are you going to keep hating knowledge? If someone's trying to help you, realize that's a blessing and take it. Learn to be wise. Now watch what she says, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will what? Pour out my spirit on you. That's inspiration. She's pouring out her spirit. She wants you to receive her spirit. Breathe it in. Take it in. Receive it. And when you receive the right spirit, look what happens. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and what else? I'll make my words known unto you. See? When you read the Bible, if you're not getting it, you know why? You probably haven't received the right spirits yet that you need. That's why you're not seeing. Now, sometimes you have, like, maybe you got the spirit of understanding. You seek understanding. And you're understanding certain things. But you don't have the spirit of faith. So that's why you're not really seeing faith in the Word. You're not growing in faith. You have to receive the Spirit, and then the Spirit will teach you so the words will make sense. And it will come alive. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. He wants your life to be blessed. He wants you to have the greatest life, greater than anything you could ever imagine. But the way you get it is that my words are spirit, and they are life. Amen? There's a spirit in man, but it's the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth them understanding. So my prayer for all of us is that we will keep growing in inspiration, that we can receive things from God, that this book doesn't have to be some boring, outdated book, because it's not. I'm telling you right now, it's not boring and it's not outdated. Once you start receiving the right spirits, most importantly, you need that new man and his spirit, the Spirit of God. Well, there's other spirits too. Wisdom, understanding, all those other things. So, amen. I hope these are a blessing to you. Hope it's a help. And, yeah. Good scriptures. They bless me, so I hope it's a blessing. Father, thanks for this time. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people that they come out, and they come, I think, to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that's what we're all doing. I pray, Lord, that when we read the Bible on a daily basis, that we are wanting to hear from you. Even when you're trying to correct us and rebuke us, when we're living in sin, and you're trying to get the sin out of our lives, let us not be foolish and hate that. Let us humble ourselves and realize you're trying to help us. Actually, it's a blessing to turn us from sin. It's a blessing to turn us from iniquity. And that you have the power to give us victory over those things where we can begin to walk in a new life that's pleasing to you. So please, Lord, bless your people. And those here who maybe haven't received your Spirit yet, they haven't been born again yet, please, Lord, I pray that you'll give them just a hunger and a thirst to want to receive that spirit from you. And I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.